Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian University Church. I hope you enjoyed the beautiful weather we had last week. My name is Kaz Shear. I'm replacing Tim Putra for board rep. I am this morning's representative from the church board. We have a variety of information about church life and activities. Please read the announcement listed in the order of service. In addition to that, we have two announcements. Today's service is intergenerational service. There will not be religious education classes. The children will remain in the service. Children fifth grade and younger will be invited to go to an Easter hunt later in the service. Okay. Anything else? And since this is the first Sunday of the month, we have a food pantry collection. The food collection will go to a Waukesha County food pantry. Let me see. Please note the food pantry on a check memo or envelope to make check payable to LCUUC. Thank you. Okay. I think we'll do that pantry now. I invite you to greet those who are sitting around you. Pencil. If you are visiting with us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There is a variety of information available on the table about Unitarian Universalists, and help yourself to any that interests you. I will be in the social hall after the service. If you have any question about our church, or if you have been visiting here for a while and would like information becoming a member, I would like to talk to you as well. If you are visiting with us with your children, it is our custom for children to remain with us until the offertory, at which time they go to religious education classes. But since this is an intergenerational service, children will remain in the service. The nursery is just out the door to my right if there is a need for the child care during the service. We always enjoy getting to know you, our guest. If any member have brought the guest today, we would be pleased if you introduce them. If any guest have brought themselves and feel comfortable to introducing themselves, Now would be a great time to do so. And we enjoy meeting you. Welcome. Welcome.
Okay. And a guest over here, this is Tom.
Welcome. Everyone is invited to gather in a social hall after the service for refreshment and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for the further discussion of our service. Please put your cell phone on a silence mode. As part of our stewardship campaign, we would like to welcome Anita Gorl to the front to share her testimonial. Anita?
Okay, deep breaths. I was asked to tell a little bit about why I'm here and what LCUC means to me. And my story is just a little bit different than probably most of yours here. I was part of LCUC as a very little kid. I think we joined maybe second, third year of the church. Who knows? I honestly don't know. But up until about college, it was something that I kind of had to go to. You know, parents always kind of made me go. And so it wasn't something that was great. I really didn't want to be here half of the time, and, you know, whatever. But then I left for college, and things changed a lot for me. I realized just how much I missed being a part of a community. And so when I moved home, I decided that, well, let's try to go back to church. Let's see what's going on, you know, with everyone here that I knew and grew up with. I missed a lot of things from church that it offered here in this community specifically. A group of free thinkers, acceptance, a place for discussion and debate that's somewhat intelligent, and random people who can, you know, just random people who come up and say hi and ask how your life is, and you just, you know, maybe you don't know them all that well, but they're still going to care about you. So when I came back, LCUC became something for me that was a safe community where I can get a smile or get a hug if I needed one, where someone's always interested in my life. But most importantly, it was a place where I could feel comfortable asking questions that I needed, even go as far as debating stuff that maybe I didn't agree with. It was a place for me to be me and be accepted for me. So I'm here at LCUC basically because every single person has some kind of opinion that they're not afraid of to share. Every person has a kind heart. Every person is good here. And you just don't find a community, a place where you can be that's like that. You just don't. And when you find something like that, you hold on to it. And that's what I'm doing.
Good morning. The opening words this morning are Psalm 98. Oh, sing a new song to the eternal. Shout praise, all earth, break into music and song. Praise the eternal with lyre and song. Let the sea and all within it thunder praise, the world and its inhabitants. Let rivers clap their hands, let mountains sing in chorus. Oh, sing a new song to the eternal. What? Now we're going to do the prelude, but I wanted the opening words first.
Thank you.
Please join in now with the chalice lighting response, which is number 625 in your gray book. We'll say these words together. You who have an eye for miracles, regard the bud now appearing on the bare branch of the fragile young tree. It's a mere dot, a nothing, but already it's a flower, already a fruit, already its own death and resurrection. This is Easter this morning. There is going to be a lot of music and singing. The first hymn is number 262, Hosanna in the Highest. Please stand as you are willing and able. The time in our service for the story for all children, and Chris White is going to read to us today. So all children of all ages are welcome to come forward. How are you this morning? Good. This is Easter. You knew that, right? When you woke up this morning, you knew it was Easter. And what is Easter all about? Just in general. What is it about? It's about sharing. What else is it about? Were you going to say something? Are you going to say something? No? Do you want to say something about it, Kevin? What do you do at Easter morning? What do you do? What? So you have a basket that you find in the morning? And then what do you do with that basket? Yes, you carry your basket and you just carry it down to the grocery store and you put bread and milk. Oh, no. What do you do with it? What do you put inside of it? Candy. What kind of candy? Chocolate. Like what kind of chocolate? Like big, huge elephant chocolates? Bunny chocolates. That's right. There's bunny chocolates and there's eggs and there's all sorts of traditions about that, fertility and, So that's one part of Easter is about the Easter bunny coming, isn't it? But another part of Easter, which is a great part of Easter in our country and in many countries because it's a Christian tradition, is about Jesus. And you've heard about Jesus, haven't you? And he was killed and then he rose from the dead. That's what many people believe. And it's called, the word for that is called resurrection. And when you have resurrection, it means that you come to life again. And that's right. Many of us believe that. And some people believe that he died and actually did come to life again. So there's all sorts of belief, and that is what's wonderful about Unitarian Universalism. You do. Okay, see? And that's very good with Unitarian Universalism is there's all sorts of different ways to believe. Yes?
It's sort of like mummies.
Is it like mummies?
Mummies, but they don't do that. They're just made of paper wrapper.
Oh, right. Right, Jesus was not wrapped in paper. But So coming to life in a resurrection can be about springtime, flowers coming to life after they've been sleeping in the earth during the wintertime, and the birds returning, and all the energy that's in the air, and all the singing that's in the air. But it's also about when you die, you can think that things are dark, right? And when you come to life again, then things are light. And this story isn't exactly about Jesus and resurrection, but it's about darkness and light, and that is Chris is going to be reading this story, and I'm going to be the microphone person.
Oh my. Okay. Night and the Candle Maker. All the world was sleeping. Just one person was awake, and he was all alone. Just one light flickered on the windowsill of his simple workshop. He was the candle maker. Night crept through the town toward the candle maker's workshop. Without a sound, Night slid under the door, then rose up behind the candle maker as he dipped a long, thin reed into a vat of warm beeswax. "Your work is useless," hissed Night. "My darkness can overpower whatever amount of light you may kindle during your brief lifespan." The candle maker nodded and dipped another reed into the wax. Night pressed on. "You may light a candle, but my friend the wind will snuff it out." I shall protect it with a glass lantern, replied the candlemaker. Then the wind will become my friend and diffuse the light. After a while, Night whispered, I can... Ooh, did I miss a page? So after a while, Night whispered, I can bring down snow to cover your light. The candlemaker replied, and the light will melt it and mingle with the water, all the more to be reflected and seen. The room was warm with the smell of beeswax. The candlemaker dipped another reed while Night, fidgeting with irritation, mumbled, Even then you will never find the path that leads to the hills of hope, because my darkness is longer than your lantern beam. I shall see enough to take one step at a time, replied the candlemaker, and surely I shall be on the right path, because I walk with the light, and the light walks with me. After a long moment of silence, Night mumbled, Don't you think it's time to catch some sleep? No, replied the candlemaker. Tomorrow people will come to buy candles. Tomorrow, asked Night softly. What tomorrow? Are you sure there will be a tomorrow? The candlemaker had nothing to say. He just carried on working. The candle in the window had nearly burned out. He lit another with the dying flame and let it blaze high, and yet another, so that even in their dreams, the people who would know that he was attending to his task. See all the candles? What are you doing? Demanded Night angrily. Making tomorrow, replied the candlemaker.
That's right, making tomorrow, and that's what this service is all about today. That even if there's the end of something, there's never really an end. There's always a tomorrow as long as life exists. So thank you for listening. This is the moment in our service for our offertory. The offering is a sacrament of the free church. It is supported by the voluntary generosity of all who join with us. The offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation from all of our shared hopes and our shared dreams.
And now it's time again for one of the sacred times of our service where we share our joys and concerns that we've had over the past week. And if you've got a special joy or deep concern you'd like to share, please tell us your name and our ushers will bring a microphone and I'll light a candle for you. And also I'd like to light our memorial candle again for wars and violence and in search for a better way. And I'd also like to light the first candle of a concern. My uncle, Boyd Carlson, my mother's only brother, has been in hospice now for a couple days. He's dying of pretty much symptoms that relate to Parkinson's disease and some treatment of cancer that has affected his lungs. So a light candle for him.
I started my new job this week, and it's really, really great. And I want to thank everybody for your positive intentions. I believe for sure that it led in this direction.
I'm Amy. Please light a candle of joy for our daughter Isabel, who turned 9 this past Tuesday.
My name is Eric Arrell. I have a joy. My fiance is 5 months pregnant, and I am having a beautiful baby with her, so I am very happy.
I'm Diane, and I'd like a candle of joy because tomorrow is the second anniversary of my finding this wonderful church that saved my life. And a second part, a very simple joy. A robin whose nest was removed by my painters is now making a new nest.
Hi, this is Jenny. Could you light a candle to celebrate the life of my uncle? His name was Melvin, and he passed away this week. He was 90 years old. And he really knew how to live life.
Hi, Anita. And can you light a candle of concern for a coworker of mine? She's lost 4 family members in the past couple months.
Hi, candle of joy. For Sammy, mommy dove in me and played hardball with the contractors, and I got him back on the job, got him to sign a 30-day finish or pay a penalty every day they're not finished contract, and got in an expediter of my choice, so I finally went over her head, you might say, and took care of things despite her her protests. And one other candle of joy, that I can come to a service, and I was thinking of this yesterday, come to a service this time of the year without being nauseated by the holy mace of smoke going around. I was thinking how grateful I was for that yesterday. I don't know why.
I'm Robin, and I want to say I have not been building nests. But I also want to say, I want to remind you that Tuesday is voting day. Please remember.
My name is Barb. Please light a candle of hope and joy that the world can open its heart and its mind and we all embrace each other.
I'm Bob. And my wife went on a spiritual journey about 3 weeks ago. Today, in about a half an hour, she's joining with the original Unitarian service that we went to when we first joined the Unitarian Church, which will start in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, in about 25 minutes. So she's very safe on her trip, and she's going to be on her way home this week.
And I'll light one last candle for the joys and concerns we keep in our hearts today.
Please join now in a moment of meditation, reflection, and prayer. The prayer of our souls is a petition for persistence, not for the one good deed or a single thought, but deed on deed and thought on thought, until day calling unto day shall make a life worth living. May it be so. The second hymn is number 270, O Day of Light and Gladness, and you can remain seated for this.
Our reading today comes from the book All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten by Robert Fulghum. My favorite book ending is no ending at all. It's where James Joyce leaves off in Finnegan's Wake in mid-sentence without punctuation or explanation. Some scholars believe the last phrase connects with the incomplete sentence that begins the book, implying an unending cycle. I hope it's so. I like that, but Joyce never said. You're free to draw your own conclusions. On a smaller scale, all this reminds me of the hours I spent trying to tell bedtime stories to my oldest son. Before I got the bare beginnings out of my mouth, he would want to know what happened before the story began. And as you might expect, no matter how conclusive and apocalyptic a story ending might be, a sleepy, squeaky voice would plead from out of the darkness, "And then what happened, Daddy?" Back there at the beginning of this book, I spoke of a question from the literary agent that set all this in motion. Did I have anything else I had written? Yes. The question much later was, "And is there still more?" The answer is yes, again, a lot more. And the writing goes on as I go on. But this is a place to pause. If the fabric of existence is truly seamless, the weavers still must sleep. The next time I will tell you about frogs. Miss Emily Phipps, a sign in a grocery store in Pocatello, Idaho, the most disastrous wedding of all time. A Greek phrase, asbestos skelos, unquenchable laughter. The Salvation Navy, the man who knew then what he knows now. The smallest circus in the world. The truth about high school. And the time when the bed was on fire when I lay down on it. And
please rise now and sing as you are able and willing. The third hymn of the morning, number 268, Jesus Christ is risen today.